dog in his truck and is wondering where you would like him deposited. If he doesn't mind dog-sitting, he can just hang on to him till we get back. Dog doesn't like being in the motel room alone. I will text him. He did, and then returned the phone to his pocket. What do we do now? We were thinking that was your call. He nodded and reached for Vic's wine again, and this time I could see where the skin had been stripped from his knuckles. Why would the ATF be so interested in the distribution of guns? Vic barked a laugh.
Because it's illegal. And because their jurisdiction is alcohol, tobacco, and, let's see, what's the last one? Oh, yeah, firearms.
The Cheyenne Nation shook his head. When we met Agent Post in the motel room, it seemed like more than that. He glanced at me. Almost a year of undercover work to infiltrate one of the most violent biker gangs around just to locate some random hardware?
What are you thinking?
He shrugged, and then turned his head, watching the sun start to make its own escape behind the Black Hills. Something that would fit on a motorcycle.
So, smaller than a bread box? They both looked at me. It's a box you put bread in.
They continued to look at me. So do you want to go get what may or may not be the mother of your child out of jail?
No.
Okay. I pulled out Bodaway's phone and looked at it again. You said 17 calls from Chloe Nance. A couple from the 310 area code. 32 from Mom. 9 from a number with a Phoenix area code but no ID. 21 from the chop shop. And 3 from this pizza place. I sipped my tea and glanced at the waitress behind the counter. So let's start with the easiest. I gestured to get her attention. Miss? Got to get some more iced tea?
She hurried over. Sorry, I was folding napkins.
I watched as she filled my glass and then looked at Henry.
Would you like something?
No, I am fine.
She studied him, and I asked, Miss, we're looking for my friend here's son and was wondering if you'd seen him. Bodaway Taurus? I quickly added, B-Way? She smiled a dazzling grin toward Henry.
I was just thinking he looked like you. She stuck out her hand. I'm Tiffany. I'm sure he's told you about me.
The bear matched her grin for grin, enveloping her hand in his.
Tiffany. Of course he has.
You tell that dirty bird I'm mad at him. He hasn't called or anything for days.
I redirected the conversation. He's been kind of tied up lately. As a matter of fact, we've been having trouble tracking him down ourselves. You wouldn't happen to know who he's been running with these days? She thought about it.
There's that guy with the do-rag and the tattoos.
Tall, with a goatee? She nodded.
And the broken nose, yeah.
I glanced at the others. Brady Post.
Yeah, that's him. I remember him saying his name.
Anybody else? She stepped back and the smile died. I guess I was pushing a little too hard. She looked at Henry.
You are his dad, right?
The bear broadened his grin, displaying stunning white ivories against his sun-bronzed skin.
Far as we know.
She relaxed and punched his shoulder, but withdrew her hand and wiped it on her jeans, just now realizing his jersey was torn and had blood on it.
There's Billy the Kiddo. That's the only other person I ever saw him with.
Billy the Kiddo?
No, Billy V with a capital E. You never heard of him? He's got his own TV show, Billy V Kiddo's Chopper Off. It was huge till he punched some producer and they canceled it. Word is, he's in negotiation with another cable network and they're going to have another series based on him.
She shrugged.
At least, that's what they say. He's originally from here and has a custom motorcycle place just down the street called the Chop Shop.
The Chop Shop? I shook my head. Do you have an address?
Oh, you can't miss it.
She glanced at Henry again.
You tell B-Way to text me, okay?
We decided to call Sheriff Engelhart to ask him to check on Torres Sr., and after the Cheyenne Nation apologized, Earl agreed to message a photo of the man as soon as they found one. As a precautionary measure, I had him look up Billy the Kiddo just so we'd know what we were up against.
K Kiddo? That's his real last name? Shit, I'd get a nickname too.
Vic parked the Challenger across the street from the chop shop, which was housed in a remodeled corner gas station still replete with old-fashioned pumps, albeit modern neon. The Pennington County Sheriff read to me over the speakerphone.
Oh, he is a real piece of work, Walt.
I glanced at the face on the screen and then held the phone for the others to see. Earl continued,
Behold Billy V. Kiddo, 6'2", 227 pounds, over a dozen cases of aggravated assault, two domestic violence charges, one assault with a deadly weapon charge, and once even choked a canine unit dog unconscious in Orange County, California.
Vic studied the mugshot.
He's got a mullet.
Earl laughed.
It's a nice one, isn't it? I doubt he hears much with that party going on in the back of his head.
He can build bikes, though. Started over in Sturgis at those build-offs, and somebody from Hollywood saw him and figured he was a genuine American outlaw and gave him his own reality show. He was living out there in Los Angeles, but something happened, and he's back here with a couple of those motorcycle places set up like franchises.
Henry turned the phone his way and looked at the photo, and at the multitude of tattoos and piercings.
I do not think he is the president of Rotary.
Originally from Rapid City and a good family, it's undisclosed exactly where the poor little lamb went astray.
Vic opened the glove box, took out her Glock, checked the magazine, and slapped it back in the 9mm.
Earl interrupted.
Excuse me, but was that the sound of a semi-automatic pistol's magazine being expertly reintroduced between the weapons grips?
I made a face at my undersheriff.
Nope, just the glove box.
Walt?
No trouble, I promise.
He continued. We've had a number of zoning problems with this Jaybird, and a few charges for dumping harmful chemicals into the local water system. You want me to send a few guys around to back you up?
No, we're just going to ask them a few questions about the kid that got hurt. I guess they knew each other.
All right, but don't shoot anybody, I assured him.
Right. Vic?
Evidently he was not assured.
What?
What are we not doing today?
She climbed out, flipping the seat forward and allowing me egress as she took the phone and began making squelch noises with her mouth.
Sweet, beast, swish, swish, sweet.
Can't hear you, Earl. You're breaking up.
Sweet, little beast, swish, squish, squeeze, squish, squish.
She made a few more noises into the phone, then hung up and handed it back to me.
I just want you to know I'm never falling for that one again.
She curtsied as she stuffed the Glock in the back of her jeans.
Sure you will.
As we walked across the street toward the chop shop, the music of air wrenches drifted out to meet us, along with the sound of an acetylene torch turning metals into liquids. It was one of those vintage gas stations with a rounded glass block front and vaulted canopies that covered the old pumps and stretched out toward the street. The building was painted black, and there were a multitude of outrageous-looking motorcycles to match lined up everywhere, in different stages of disrepair and assembly. Through a door in the work area were a few young ladies in skimpy outfits and smoking cigarettes, loafing at what must have been the office. One of them looked up as we walked into the bays.
Hi, welcome to Billy V. Kiddo's Chop Shop. Can I help you?
I smiled. Do you have to say that every time somebody comes in?
Pretty much.
Is Henry McCarty, a.k.a. William H. Bonney, around?
She pushed off the edge of the desk and abandoned her companion.
Huh?
Billy V. Kiddo.
You got a bike problem?
She was talking to me, but she was looking at Henry. Not that I blamed her.
Henry saved us by speaking up.
I have got a shovel head rebuild that I am doing, and I am past the wrist pin alignment and the pistons are ready to go in. Now I know the ring gaps should never be in line with each other or placed on a thrust area of the bore. The major thrust area is the rear of the cylinder wall, and the next minor thrust area is the front. But will the oil ring expander come in contact with the cylinder bore or the oil ring scraper rail gaps?
You could see the struggle as she thought about bullshitting the bear, but then thought better of it.
Maybe you should talk to Billy.
The Cheyenne Nation showed some teeth.
That would be nice. Thank you.
The dishwater blonde threw a thumb over her shoulder toward the bay where all the noise was coming from.
He's welding, so shield your eyes.
She left us, and we ambled toward the back, where a very lithe-looking individual was crouched down, working on the gas tank of a bike that looked as though it had undergone a great deal of modification. It also looked like a death trap. As we waited, I glanced around the shop and noticed a very heavy security door led to the back and had to admit that it was an impressive operation. A little grimy, but impressive.
"What do you want?"
I turned around and discovered that the chop shop's chief cook and bottle washer was holding the brass nozzle of the torch away from his work and had nudged the dark glasses up onto his rooster-like platinum hair.
"We're looking for Mr. Kiddo?" "Billy. People call me Billy V."
He stood, closed off the acetylene, and turned to face us, and I'm not sure if I'd ever seen that much defined muscle on one person before. He had the easy smile of someone who was used to getting what he wanted, and I was betting we were seeing a good $7,000 worth of dental work. Then there were the diamond earrings, which probably cost a couple thousand more. He hung the nozzle on the rack with the tanks, pulled a red shop rag from his back pocket, and wiped off his long, tattooed fingers.
"Well, you found him, now what?"
"You happen to know a young man by the name of Bodaway Torres?"
"Yeah, I know B-Way. What about him?"
"Do you mind telling us what your dealings with him might have been?" He studied the three of us.
"You guys cops?"
I gestured toward Vic and myself. "Two out of three." He tossed the rag onto a nearby tool rack and then turned back to scrutinize us.
"Well, two out of three of you can go fuck yourselves."
The bear glanced at us and then back to thee.
"Does that mean that I get to stay and ask questions?"
Kiddo smiled, and even went so far as to crack his knuckles like some cartoon badass.
"It means you get to stay and I can stick my boot so far up your ass, I'll be using your mouth as an ankle bracelet."
The bear smiled, and I watched as he seemed to grow and swell, or maybe the room was just becoming smaller.
"Really?"
Kiddo's grin grew wider as he reached over to the same bench and picked up a disc metal cutter.
"You know, I hate it when people don't take my threats seriously."
"Maybe you should get better writers, or work on some better threats."
V took a step forward with the cutter and punched the trigger so that he had to speak over the dangerous whine of the thing.
"You ever try to pick up your teeth without fingers?"
The bear looked at me.
"That wasn't bad."
"I'd give it an 8.
Henry turned back to Kiddo.
"No, but when we were kids, waiting on the bus in front of the Jimtown bar in Lame Deer, we used to pass a time picking up teeth in the parking lot after the weekend fights."
I nodded toward the Cheyenne Nation and half yelled over the whine.
"That was better. It had a personal quality and didn't sound like a line from a crappy Chuck Norris movie."
Billy V stood there with the cutter, and I saw he was thinking of using it on us just as Vic pulled the 9mm from the back of her jeans, letting it rest alongside her thigh.
"So you're the kind of asshole that brings power tools to gunfights?"
Chapter 7.
"He says you threatened him."
I held the phone to my ear and tried to remember how I'd gotten involved in this mess, but then recalled it was a damsel in distress who was more like a dame. "He started it with a metal cutter. He said Ms. Moretti was brandishing a gun." I glanced at my impromptu posse, leaning on the fender of the screaming orange Dodge, one watching the horizon and the other checking her nails. "Define brandishing."
"Walt. Okay, she brandished it a little bit."
I sighed. "Look, Earl, it isn't like we got anything out of him. You got a restraining order, harassment, and a charge of cease and desist. He learned a lot of litigious lessons out there in California, and pending court action, you're not going to be able to go within 100 feet of him."
"What's he hiding?"
"Heck if I have any idea, but he's all lawyered up now, so it's going to be a lot harder to find out."
I sighed and began pacing back and forth.
"Anything interesting from his sordid past?
Other than the things I've already mentioned?"
The sheriff sighed and then chuckled.
"A couple of years ago, he was back on a visit and attempted to shoot his next-door neighbor with a .40 for mowing his lawn on a Sunday afternoon."
My response was slightly incredulous.
"He's religious?"
"About football."
"Oh."
"Came charging out of the house, but must not be much of a shot with that Glock 22 because he fired the thing twice before killing it."
"The lawnmower,"
I'm assuming we're talking about.
Yes. Is lawn implement destruction a felony here in South Dakota?
Nothing runs like a deer or smells like a John.
Englehart laughed outright.
He bought the old guy another one, but Billy can be hell on wheels. He trashed a bar in Deadwood a few months back, stuck some guy's head in a toilet.
I listened as he rustled some papers.
Don't be fooled. He can be charming as hell in court. Shows up in a coat and tie, all Hollywood businessman, and makes jokes about not being able to grow up. You'd be amazed how many middle-aged jurors want to get free work on their bikes around here.
So, no serious time inside, then?
No, he's pretty careful about that kind of thing. I mean, it's all just assault and battery type stuff, like I told you.
There was silence over the phone.
Why are you so interested?
Motorway Torres called his shop 21 times in the last week.
Maybe he was having bike problems.
Maybe. There was another pause.
All right, then, but would you keep me informed so I don't have to find these things out via APB?
Roger that. I hit the off button and walked back toward the Dodge.
We are free agents once again, but Earl says V is lawyered up and that we need to leave him alone.
They say that genius is an infinite capacity for taking pains. It is a very bad definition, but it does apply to detective work.
The bear turned and looked at Vic.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
He shrugged and looked back at me.
All we wanted to do was talk.
I guess he's got nothing to say.
Vic stared at the Cheyenne Nation and then at me.
Neither of you want to hear what I have to say next.
The bear scratched the side of his face.
Then do not say it.
She continued to thwart him by looking at me.
There was this guy I know who taught me that when an investigation grinds to a halt, you go back to the beginning and start over.
I thought about it.
You know, I hate that guy who taught you that.
I leaned on the fender with her.
That was me, right?
Henry interrupted.
And where, pray tell, is the beginning of this case?
We both looked at her as she smiled.
Following the gold caddy on the highway, Vic and I watched as the two heads turned toward each other, their hair whipping in the wind.
What do you suppose they're talking about?
Probably the $2,000 of bail money she owes him.
I imagine she'll tell him to put it on her tab.
Vic wound her way through the Black Hills, her foot in the Challenger, causing it to bellow as we raced along behind the Cadillac.
That tab is getting to be pretty big.
She glanced at me sideways.
So you think he's Henry's kid?
No.
Why?
Because he says he isn't.
Boy, I want you on my side in a paternity suit.
She nodded toward the car ahead of us.
Of course she says he is.
Well, like I said, Lola Wojciechowski's turning out to be less and less a credible entity.
Mama's baby, Papa's maybe.
I just don't think it would have taken her 30 years to get in touch with him about it.
My undersheriff cocked her head.
She's tough.
She's had to be.
I studied the car and could see Lola was putting a little distance between her and us. I'm beginning not to trust her any farther than I can throw her.
So it's solely about justice for the kid?
I took a deep breath.
As far as I'm concerned, but I'm not sure about Henry.
Did you talk to the doctors?
No.
I did.
I turned and looked at her again.
Oh.
Now why don't I like the sound of that?
That kid's never coming back, Walt.
I nodded my head and turned to watch the road being gobbled up by the muscle car.
Never?
Not one chance in 1,000.
That's not what his mother thinks.
Yeah, the doctors told me about that, too. The one I talked with said he explains the situation to her, but then she keeps coming back with all kinds of scenarios, not a one of them with any medical credibility.
She watched me as I continued to study the rapidly passing outskirts of Rapid City.
I suppose you didn't want to hear that, huh?
I settled into the bucket seat, evidently larger than a bucket.
Not really. Makes me sad.
I'm sorry, Walt. I just don't want you pinning your efforts on bringing that kid back.
I nodded, glancing at the speedometer and noticing we were approaching 100. You think we're going a little fast? She gestured with a hand toward the windshield.
You want me to keep up with Maria Andretti here, or what?
We banked another turn and started climbing an extended hill, just as a siren sounded from a long way behind us.
I watched as Vic glanced up into the rearview mirror. Company.
Swinging around, I could see the flashing lights of a black South Dakota Highway Patrol car gaining on us.
Well, hell.
It was about then that I heard the bellow increase, and the Challenger felt as if it were shooting out from under me.
What are you doing?
She gestured through the windshield again.
She's out on bail. You think they're going to let her get away with doing 100 on an interstate highway?
Probably not.
I'll bait and switch.
Give this highwayman a run for his money. Besides, if he catches us, I'm sure you can talk our way out of it.
I don't suppose we could just pull over and talk to him?
She glanced at the speedometer.
Maybe before we went past 120.
I reached out and clamped a hand on the dash. Lola and Henry's pace now seemed sedate as we blew past. Vic waved in the rear view and then checked on the HP's progress.
He's still gaining on us.
She glanced at me, smiling just enough to reveal the slightly oversized canine tooth, increasing her lupine features.
He's gamer.
Just before we topped the hill, I glanced back to see the trooper pass the Cadillac, as if it were dragging an anchor.
Mission accomplished. We are now his sole and exclusive target.
The Challenger became very light in the tires as we weaved between the cars on the road and leveled off, starting down the hill.
What's the next town?
Sturgis.
Is there a main artery leading out?
Alternate 14, which heads toward Deadwood and Boulder Canyon Road. The speedometer was now tipping 160 as she blithely steered the Dodge into the emergency lane to pass two semis running in tandem.
This first exit here?
I swallowed and tried to work up enough spit to speak.
No, the second one.
Rocketing past the trucks and the startled driver of a minivan, she tipped the wheel, and the muscle car leaped back into the open lane like an animal on the hunt.
Cool, ho, daddy!
I turned to see if the trooper was a member of the Joy Chitwood Danger Angels, but so far he hadn't caught up, possibly slowed down by the 18-wheelers. Take the next exit and then left under the underpass and out of town, but there's going to be some traffic with it being rally week.
I like traffic. It's cover.
She spotted the exit up ahead, and predictably, there was a lineup of cars and trucks with trailers hauling motorcycles backed up almost onto the thoroughfare.
You said left, right?
Yep, left. Slicing down the emergency lane, she decelerated and tipped the wheel just enough to get the rear end of the Challenger to break traction and begin a sickeningly slow slide to the right as the two back wheels attempted to catch up with the front. I looked straight ahead at the intersection that was rapidly approaching, aware that the light was red and that traffic was streaming by in front of us. Vic casually countered the drift just enough to keep the Dodge in play and, slowing her speed, continued turning to the right, glancing up at the overpass where the highway patrolman was sliding across the bridge with his anti-lock brakes fully locked.
Gotcha!
A truck driver pulling across the intersection suddenly looked up the ramp in time to see us rapidly approaching sideways. He slammed on his brakes as Vic threw the Dodge across the opposing lanes, beat out a sedan, and put her foot into the more than 700 horsepower, slinging us forward as she took the emergency lane again, shooting past more cars, then roaring back onto the road and weaving her way through the lanes of traffic. I could still hear the whine of the HP's siren and turned to see that he had made a U-turn farther down the road in order to take the Boulder Canyon exit in the opposite direction. He's still back there.
Where does this road go?
I glanced out the side window, the pines compressed by the speed like the opening credits of a movie not formatted to real life.
Deadwood.
Anything between?
Some small secondary roads in Boulder Creek and Oak Ridge. We leaped across a bridge and made a hard right, following the geometry of a curve not designed for almost 90 miles an hour.
Is that Boulder Creek we just went over?
I suppose we were going too fast for me to read the sign.
She dipped her head forward, indicating the road beyond.
He's going to radio ahead and they'll be waiting for us at the cutoff in Deadwood.
I'd say that's probably true.
A sign that read Boulder Creek Country Club flashed by.
Take the next road on the right.
What?
Do it.
She pressured the brakes and broadsided through the turn onto the tiny road.
Apple Spring Boulevard, really?
It's not on the maps, but there's a dirt road that connects with Crook Mountain and leads back up to Whitewood and Route 34 that'll get us back to Hewlett. Tim Berg told me about it a while ago. She bellowed up the two-lane, past the assorted houses, slowed at the end of the pavement, and stopped just before she cut the engine.
The human pencil holder?
Vic referred to Tim's propensity of sticking pencils and pens in his prodigious beard and then losing them.
And the Butte County Sheriff, yes.
She rolled down her window and we listened to the highway patrolman's approach. There was only a small break in the pines, but after a moment, the black sedan flashed by. She raised a fist and smiled at me.
Let's hear it for the Philadelphia Police Academy Tactical Driving School.
I cleared my throat and attempted to settle my stomach by stepping out of the car. No offense, but I don't ever want to do that again. Vic slipped out the other side and looked at me over the hood.
You getting sensitive in your old age?
I ignored her and leaned on the grill, feeling the heat from the Hemi engine as it ticked and cooled. She joined me, crossing her arms and bumping her shoulder into my side.
What's up?
I don't mean to sound like a child. I shook my head, clearing it with the scent of ponderosa pines, Black Hills spruce, quaking aspens, paper birch,